All right, State Representative Todd Stevens is with us, and maybe what you're going to hear is something that may negate all this bizarre behavior by Philadelphia. Let's go to the representative. Hey, Representative, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Dom. Thanks for having me.
Well, when you were on the show a while back, you talked about the people, your constituents, that had a deep interest in this, some of them the owners of these Asian deli stop-and-goes. And then I saw you at the meeting of a couple of hundred of these folks, along with David O. What did you say to people, or what did you take away from that meeting with these merchants?
Look, these merchants are, and rightfully so, deeply concerned about their own personal safety. And, you know, I was really touched by, and really moved, frankly, by how deeply concerned they are, and rightfully so. You know, I mean, we hear about it on the news every night. You know, a robbery here, a sexual assault there. And you know, they're scared. They're scared. And, you know, no business owner should be, scared and frankly unable to protect their family and their employees. So we're going to do everything we can to make sure that across Pennsylvania, business owners can take the steps that are necessary to protect their own employees from workplace violence.
So let's talk about this. You know, I'm a local control guy, certainly, but the state is the arbiter, is the controller of matters involving alcohol.
Well, to some extent, we do give a lot of deference to communities in terms of alcohol consumption. You know, there are dry towns, things like that, because of you know, local control. And I'm with you, Dom. I generally prefer local control. I think that decisions are best made at the local level. But there are some fundamental human rights, such as being able to protect yourself from violence. I mean, that's why governments were created, you know, is to protect citizens from marauders and things like that. So, you know, there are some fundamentals that I think at the state level we need to make sure are in place across Pennsylvania. Whether you're in Erie, Lancaster, Lansdale, or Philadelphia, you should be able to protect yourselves and your employees from workplace violence. I mean, let's focus on the criminals, not the victims.
Yeah, when you're doing this, I think we mentioned before, too, a little bit of research on this. OSHA, in fact, and this is the Obama-era OSHA, 2009, recommends in high-crime neighborhoods, essentially, businesses like this have bulletproof glass that you can't pass through. I mean, this is OSHA. It's the federal government recognizing it.
Well, and that's, you know, the other day, I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. I'll give you credit where credit is due. You brought that to my attention when we spoke last week, and that's actually in the co-sponsor memo that I sent out to my colleagues earlier this week for the legislation.
Oh, I'd love to get a copy of that. We like to know when we, you know, help along the way a little bit. That's good.
Yeah, no question. We researched that, and you know, the OSHA regs are pretty clear for late-night retail establishments. This is, you know, recommended. And, you know, it's unconscionable to me that a local government would step in and prevent people from protecting themselves from workplace violence. It's beyond my comprehension. I can't get my head around.
Your bill, or the preliminary part of it, I know your staff was working on it right away. What would it do exactly?
So we, in general terms, what it would say is that no local government can come in and, well, let me back up. Let me flip it around and put it the other way. Business owners would be able to take whatever steps are compliant with federal and state laws and regulations about protecting their employees from workplace violence. So, you know, look, city council wants to talk about nuisance issues and loitering and drug dealing and littering and all that other stuff. I applaud them for that. You know, I think they ought to work diligently to address those types of issues. But when you cross the line and start talking about things that are going to prevent employers from following federal regulations and recommendations and state regulations and recommendations to address workplace violence, that's where you've crossed the line, and it's an overreach. And we saw this a couple of years ago. You know, I don't know if you remember, there were municipalities that were making it illegal to call 911 too many times.
Yes, Norristown was one. Yeah.
Yep, and I stepped in, and we now have a state law that says municipalities can't prevent you from calling 911. Nobody. It was interesting. The reaction has been the same. When I introduced that bill a couple of years ago, my colleagues up in Harrisburg said, well, why the heck do we need this? And then I explained to them that there were dozens of municipalities across the Commonwealth who had these ordinances in place, and they were trying to do the same thing. They were trying to get it nuisance residences that always had loud music, that always had, you know, things going on, and the police were always being called, and, you know, for littering and loitering and things like that. But again, it was an overreach, and they were impacting victims of crime instead of the people perpetrating the crime. Mm-hmm. And so we stepped in, and we have a state law now in place to address that. And I intend to do the same thing here, pursue a state law that's going to prevent the overreach. Look, let people protect themselves. Deal with nuisance issues, but don't prevent people.
Exactly. Philosophically, too, you just mentioned something. It triggers, again, Harrisburg. Philadelphia already has a difficult time. And Philadelphia, I live in Philadelphia, but it provokes this. People hear this in Harrisburg, in the hinterlands of Pennsylvania, and you deal with these guys. Like, I've never been to Erie. Have you been to Erie, and you've been a legislator a while?
I have.
You're one of the first guys I've met I've asked that question to. And my point being, they hear this from Erie about here in Philadelphia, and they think, what the heck is wrong with these people?
It's interesting. One of my colleagues from Butler County, which is out north of Pittsburgh, he saw this. He saw one of my posts on Facebook, and he was incredulous. He said, "What are you kidding me?" And he said, "I want to be a co-sponsor on that bill. You let me know when it comes up." And then I was talking to him in the Capitol the other day, and he said to me, "He said this is crazy." He said, "My constituents, when I was explaining what's going on in Philly, they couldn't understand what in the world would prompt someone to do this." And so when I dropped the co-sponsor memo, and so your listeners understand, the first step in introducing a bill is you send a memo to all your colleagues saying, hey, here's what I intend to do. Do you want to join me in sponsoring this legislation? That memo went out on Tuesday, and I think we're probably up to about 10 co-sponsors already. We were up, like I said, to about 10 co-sponsors, I think, within a day or two.
Wow. I know how slow this process is. That is amazing.
Yeah, so we're moving on that, and you know, I'm disappointed in the vote that occurred yesterday. I thought that cooler heads might prevail and they might strip out that bulletproof glass piece because it is, you know, it's just dangerous. I don't know why you want to prevent people from
Well, exactly.
Themselves.
AI, Bird told me there's another big area, too. You know, in Philadelphia, it's not often what you guys are doing in Harrisburg on our radar screen. You're involved in something else big, too, though, and this is the ongoing Me Too movement, or women in the workplace, sexual harassment, or worse. What are you doing on that front?
Well, you know, I led the Kathleen Cain impeachment investigation, and I also led the investigation into the impeachment of Mark Reese, the sheriff in Lancaster County. And one of the things that jumped out at me through both of those investigations was that there were folks who were sexually harassed in both instances. Now, Kathleen Cain wasn't sexually harassing anybody, but her chief of staff was. And the fact is, people in both agencies did not feel safe reporting any of that harassment that was going on. They felt like they had nowhere to go as a whistleblower, and they feared retaliation in both agencies. And so earlier this year, I thought that, like the federal government and 27 other states, we ought to have a House Government Oversight Committee. And the Oversight Committee would serve several functions, but among them would be a place to receive whistleblower complaints about all kinds of things, fraud, waste, abuse in government.
Well, wait a minute. You guys are going to have to put a staff in there, fraud, waste, and abuse in government. You're going to need 5,000 workers working like Amazon workers have to work. Come on.
We'll be able to work pretty efficiently. But this would also be a place where, you know, if you're in a government agency somewhere, you could report anonymously if you wanted, you know, these types of issues for an inquiry and investigation by the House Government Oversight Committee. And the federal government has one, both the U.S. House and Senate have them. And as I mentioned, 27 other states have them. And it wouldn't be just limited to these types of issues, sexual harassment mm-hmm. issues, but obviously it would be a forum for these folks to you know, have their concerns investigated by a disinterested party. In other words, if there is sexual harassment going on in a courthouse somewhere and you don't feel comfortable going through the chain of command within that courthouse, you could come to the House Government Oversight Committee and we'd conduct an investigation to say, hey, look, here's what's going on. And then we'd have some options. We could adopt legislation. We could publish a report.
Right.
We could refer the matter to law enforcement or the EEOC or, you know, any number of other agencies that are there. You know, we could take some action and really shine some light on some of these issues that are going on across the Commonwealth and really, I think, clean things up in government. it would also help in other areas. You know, I've heard complaints about DEP not processing permits quickly enough. I've heard complaints about, and I don't just mean like an individual case. I'm talking, you know, hundreds of permits that are sitting for years,
right,
without a review, things like that. As a legislature, I think we should dig into some of those issues. If DEP needs more manpower, you know, if they're understaffed and that's the issue, then we should know about it. If this is a deliberate effort to, you know, deny businesses the opportunity to pursue their goals and achieve the environmental permits that they need, then that's a problem. You know, so I think it would really help to inform us as a legislature and really help us, you know, clean things up across the Commonwealth.
Sounds very good. I do hope, can we get a copy of this preliminary bill, or is that private until it be, you know, jumps out here?
On the bulletproof glass?
Yes.
Oh, no, yeah, we'll send that over. Actually, before we got on, I had asked my staff if they could email it over to you, so hopefully it's coming over shortly.
All right, you have my email, domshow@AOL.com?
We got it.
All right, well, have a great weekend. Thank you. Keep us in the loop as this continues. We're on it.
Thanks so much, Don. I appreciate your interest.
Thank you. Representative Todd Stevens here on Talk Radio 1210.